The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
Thank you very much. Welcome. This is so great to be here. You can't even imagine how great it is for me to be here. Generally, when I come to these retreats, as probably most of you know, I had just landed from Israel. So I'm generally very spaced out, and that goes well with the Kabbalah, you know, teachings, that it kind of does well. And so people think, oh, he's really mystical, but he's really just jet-lagged. This time I really have no excuse because I came in from Toronto, and everyone keeps coming up to me and saying, oh, did you just come from Israel? I said, no, I came from Toronto. Oh. So you smell Canadian. You don't have that Jerusalem air to you. Anyways, but... And I've been in Toronto for about a month now, so I'm very Canadian. I probably picked up an accent, so if you don't understand what I'm saying, I'm sorry, but I've been in Toronto for about a month. Anyways, generally, when I go from Toronto, Canada, to the U.S., I have problems at the border. Right? They always tell me that this is a random selection, sir. But for whatever reason, they randomly always end up picking on me. I know what it is. Maybe red hair looks like a terrorist. But whatever it is, right? That short, mean look to me always gets me frisked by these people. Well, so a number of years ago, probably the worst that I ever had was this guy starts going through my bags. He's asking me a million questions, and I'm answering the questions. And I'm trying not to crack up. In fact, this guy's just sounding really silly. And then finally he says, okay, you can go. Fine, thank you very much, sir. And as I'm walking, he says, wait one second. You come right back here. I say, yes, sir. He says, what's those strings sticking out of your pants? I say, excuse me? The strings out of your pants? What's the strings out of your pants? Now, I felt harassed. I felt I had enough. And so at that point, I started to go like this. And I was about to say, stand back or I'll pull him. Okay, go on. And so as I was about to do that, I thought, no, you don't want to spend the night in jail. So I put my hand down, and what do you say, right? Didn't look like a Yiddish boy. So I said, I'll just tell him what it is. So I looked him straight in the face and said, they're tzitzis. So now you can see this guy who doesn't want to look stupid, looking very stupid, trying to figure out, like, is this in his manual? Like, he's had all this training, right? This is like a nuclear weapon or something. He doesn't know what they are. So you can just see the embarrassment on his face, and finally says, what a tzitzis! So I said, well, they remind me of my tie with God. So I said, oh, well, I understood that very well, and you have a very nice day, sir. All right, well, so yesterday, again, I land on some interesting security guards. This was a woman. So she starts again, oh, we're sorry, sir, this is just a random check, but it's always randomly me. Okay, so she starts going through my bag, right? She's going through my bag. You know, they have gloves, they have these plastic gloves. Why is it dusty? What's the problem? I don't know what it is. Okay. But anyways, so she goes through my bag, and I see she's got this shocked look on her face. And she goes in, and she goes like this. And I go, okay, now what do I say? I'm thinking of, like, how do I answer this in my bag, right? Okay, the first thing comes to my mind is an anti-Semitic joke. It's my horns. He asked me, what am I supposed to say? Okay, I said, no, don't say that. Okay, it's a hookah. Okay, yes. The hash is in the tefillin bag. Okay? What do I say? Ah, it's a straw for beer drinkers. Thank you, sir. What am I supposed to say, right? She's looking at it, and she's totally shocked. She's obviously never seen one of these things. So I told her the truth. I told her it's an alarm clock. Because that's really what it is. This is my Seiko shofar, okay? Because it's really an alarm clock. The Rambam, Maimonides, the great, great teacher of Judaism, he explains that the sound of the shofar is the sound of waking us up. That we seem to fall asleep a lot. Even when we're walking, there are a lot of people sleepwalking. There's a lot of people sleep-talking. And I don't know if you've ever seen somebody sleepwalking. It's really scary, right? It's really scary. But you know what? There's so many people that are sleepwalking. Even after they get out of bed and go to work, they're still sleepwalking. You know, I had a very challenging month. Some of you might have known. Very challenging. My parents were not well. My mother recently had very serious surgery. My father's been in and out of the hospital. My daughter was getting married, and my father was very disappointed that he couldn't come to the wedding because he was not well. And he had a heart attack just before the... I mean, it was just... It's been a very difficult month, and I've actually been in Toronto for about a month right now. And I've been feeling pretty sad. So as I said, it's so great for me to be here. You know, it's been very, very hard. And last Shabbos, I was feeling really down. Really down. My family, I haven't seen in a while, so I was missing my wife, I was missing my kids, I was missing Israel, I was missing my teddy bear, I left him in Israel. And I was feeling down, and I was surrounded by age, I was struggling with seeing my parents aging, surrounded by sickness. I was recently told about a very close relative who, she's in her early 50s, and she was just diagnosed with cancer. And she's a close relative of mine. So I was feeling really down. And I know a lot of people come to me, you know, Mr. Inspiration, they come to Rabbi Aaron. And I'm thinking, you know, gee, I wish I knew a rabbi like Rabbi David Aaron. Right? Because I wasn't feeling like Rabbi David Aaron. I was feeling really uninspired. So I'm sitting there on a couch on Shabbat, and Shabbat is so long in Toronto. I mean, when you're with your family, you know, but when you're by yourself, and you brought, you know, you bought frozen cholent, it's just like, you know, it was like really. So, I was thinking, what am I going to read? Say, look, and there on the table is my book, The Secret Life of God. So I'm thinking, you know what? I'll read my book. That's it, you know? I'll read my book. So I start reading my book. I start laughing at my jokes. I said, this guy's pretty good. And you know what? It was an amazing experience because it had a shift of mood. I was reading stuff in there that I don't even remember saying. I don't even remember writing because my books are plagiarized, so I... And it was really having a powerful effect on me. I was feeling encouraged. I was feeling uplifted. I was feeling inspired. And my sister walks in, and she sees me reading my book. And she says, you're reading your own book? Like, how egotistical can you be, right? She says, you're reading your own book? I thought, yeah, that's so strange. How could I be reading my own book? And how can my own book be inspiring me and having an impact on me? And then I realized something, which I think for me is perhaps the challenge in my career right now. I have grappled with some of the biggest questions of existence since I'm a little kid, at a very, very young age. I was asking those big questions. Why do we exist? Is there a God? Why is there so much evil in the world? Why is there so much suffering in the world? I'm very connected to my mother's suffering as a survivor. That's a very big part of my whole setup growing up. And I struggled with these questions, and I went to Israel. And it's, you know, like people think that I wrote these books for them. I didn't write these books for them. I wrote these books for me. These books are not my books. They're my journey. And they're very personal because I was trying to find the answers to my questions. So when people feel that, thank God I've been able to empathize with their questions, because they're my questions. And some of them still are my questions. And so, you know, it's been, now I went to Israel, it's almost 30 years. I met a great Kabbalist, like within the first week that I came to Israel. So I've had the incredible opportunity to meet with great masters and be taught by some of the greatest. And I think, Baruch Hashem, I've been blessed to be able to put down in paper answers which I really truly believe are some of the most profound things that I don't think you can find in writing. And I feel just blessed. I don't really feel it's me. I just feel really totally gifted by Hashem, God, to give me that. And so what really challenges me is I feel that my mind, I feel my intelligence, I feel that I am philosophically a lot more evolved than I am in terms of my own personality or my character. I feel like if this stuff is as deep as it is, and I really do believe it is, then how come I'm not one of the greatest tzaddikim in the world? Right? I'm not. Right? I certainly don't believe I am. Right? Why am I not amongst the greatest sages in history? Look at this stuff. Wow. But I'm not. So well, how is it possible? Really challenge me. I mean, shouldn't these ideas change you? Why do I keep making mistakes? Why do I keep falling into certain patterns? How come these ideas haven't just totally transformed me and now I'm the greatest tzaddik in the world? And I'm not. And I realized in Shabbos that you know what the biggest challenge in life is? It's not figuring it out. It's remembering what you figured out. And that's really amazing. Now, I don't have a great memory. In fact, I went to a doctor to see if you could do something for memory. He gave me pills, but I keep forgetting to take them. Come on. Give a guy a break. Okay. But the truth is that I keep falling asleep. That I have these incredible wake-up moments in my life. And I have been blessed to be able to participate in putting in writing what I believe really are very enlightening, real wake-up ideas. But I fall asleep sometimes, even when I'm walking, even when I'm talking. And so this Shabbos, I realize that one of the greatest challenges in life is to wake up and remember what you know. And you know that book, Everything I Needed to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten? You know, there's just so much truth in that. But the Talmud says, everything you needed to know, you actually learned before kindergarten. Everything you needed to know, you were taught in your mother's womb. Right? That's what the Talmud says. In your mother's womb, you were taught everything you need to know. And just as you're about to come into the world and reveal to the world your wisdom, deliver perhaps one of the most brilliant talks the world has ever heard, some angel touches you right here, and you come into the world with, you know, saliva rolling out of your mouth, going goo goo ga, you're about goo goo ga ga ga. And you forget the whole thing. And you know, essentially what Judaism is telling us, that real education is all about remembering. There's really nothing new to discover. There's just so much ancient to remember. And I think for me, if only I could remember the look in my wife's eyes when we stood under that chuppah, what a husband I would always be. If only I could always remember the birth of my children, what an amazing father I would be. If only I could remember, and this is only a couple weeks ago, the incredible joyful tears that poured out of me at my wife and my daughter's wedding. But I keep forgetting. And I need a clock. I need an alarm clock. I need a chauffeur. Right? And that's what this month is about. Judaism is about. But especially this month, it's about remembering. And you know what? We just kind of said, I knew that all. How did I go into this eclipse? How did I forget this? You know, we get so stuck in these moment situations with friends, difficult, challenging moments with friends or family. If only remember, this is just a drop in the bucket of our relationship. I forgot everything, and suddenly all I can remember and think of is this. It's about reminding ourselves. reminding, right? Getting back to our minds. We kind of lose our minds. We fall asleep. And we got to wake up. So, you know, this is a story about a king who invited his entire kingdom to visit with him personally. But in order to honor his kingdom, he put out this incredible spread, this festive meal. And you know what happened? Everybody showed up and got so into fressing and pigging out that they totally forgot why they actually came. And basically the day went by and the gates of the palace closed and the people sat there fressing and fressing until finally they remembered, oh my gosh, why have we come here? Why have we come here? I want you to know, according to Kabbalah, the way the soul actually comes into the world is through a process of forgetfulness. And really the whole process is just remembering, who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And so I used to think, for many years, that it was all about the deepest of the deepest. And now, at this stage, after writing, I've written already 7 books, only 4 are published so far. God willing, the other 3 will be published within the next year or two. I'm in the midst of my 8th and 9th book right now, right? But you know what? In the end, you gotta wake up and remember what you said. I've had people come up to me and say, you know, Rabbi, I heard you speak a couple years ago. You said this thing that really stayed with me. I said, oh yeah, what is it? I don't even remember saying that. I said, you sure you heard that from me? Right? Yeah, you said that. Okay, right? Hashem should bless us. We have to remember, remind ourselves, catch ourselves from falling asleep, and wake up. And so this really is an alarm clock to wake us up. So this whole month is about reminding ourselves, who are we? Why are we? What really matters? And being now in the United States for a month, I'm only now really understanding the challenge of distraction. Because everybody's trying to make you forget that you're a soul. They want to sell you this and sell you that and want to make you forget what's really, really important. This is to wake us up. So you know what? I would like to challenge you all for these next couple of days to help us remind ourselves, who are we? We are souls. We are what Kabbalah calls sparks of God, no less than sparks of God. We're described as children of God. And how can we help remind ourselves of that? It's so easy to fall into self-doubt, so easy to fall into knocking ourselves down. It's so easy to meet people who are very happy to knock ourselves down. Let's try for the next couple of days to remind ourselves what incredible beings we are. What incredible shining souls we are. And the way we're going to do this, I'm going to challenge us all to say a kind word 3 times a day, just 3 times a day, to 3 different people. Not 3 words, 3 people, that's too much, okay? But 3 people each day, just find a kind word. It's amazing how a kind word could just so open our hearts, restore our self-respect, and remind ourselves, why are we here? And a friend of mine once pointed out that people love to go to hotels because people treat you nice there. Of course, you pay them to treat them nice. Because it's a whole culture to go that people should treat you nicely. I remember I first met the actor Kirk Douglas at the King David Hotel. So he told me that when he first got to the hotel, he was so impressed. Never had he gone to a hotel that inscribed his initials on the towels. He said to his wife, he said, honey, this is unbelievable. I've never had such VIP treatment. Look at even on the glasses, KD. She says, honey, King David Hotel, okay? And then as we were walking out of his room, we went into the elevator, and the guy working there said, oh, how are you, sir? And he said, oh, you look so great, sir, Mr. Douglas, and everything. And then when the elevator is closed, he turned to me and said, they kill you with their kindness. But you know what? People actually now pay for someone to say a kind word, to be just a little cordial. So that's what I'd like to challenge us all to do, right? To help remind ourselves. The process of tshuva can only happen if we believe in ourselves. And believing in ourselves is critical to believe in God. You can't believe in God and not believe in yourself. Because you are an expression of God, an aspect of God. You are a creation of God. And if you don't believe in yourself, then you couldn't be believing in God. If you truly believed in yourself, you'd also certainly believe in God, because you would never believe you were an accident. You'd never believe that you're an evolved monkey. So I'm going to ask us all to try and be mindful of saying a kind word to three different people each day. And I tell you, the room, this retreat, the world will all of a sudden feel a light. A light will shine. Because we will acknowledge each other for who we really are. So this is our alarm clock. I hope it won't blow it.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990, or in Jerusalem at country code 972-627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.